And I'm back with you, and this is 101.9 Chai FM, and I'm Annabelle Linder, and I want to say welcome to our next guests. We've got Mike Flint sitting in front of me, founder, producer, and management entertainment group, PMEG, and producer of a current film, which we're going to discuss. Hello, Mike.
Hi.
And we've got with him George. And George, George Jamieson is a South African who currently lives in Johannesburg. And George was part of the Palmach, and he fought during the War of Independence. And he came in with Mike, and he's sitting there. Just say hi to the listeners, George.
Hi, everybody.
And we're going to talk now about you, Mike. But you are a filmmaker.
I am a filmmaker.
So that's what
yes.
we want to know what,
yes, I am a filmmaker.
About you. Tell us about the film.
Well, that's what slides into this. By luck, a very close friend of mine, Nikki Holzhausen and Dave Holzhausen, were willing to host me if I came out here. One of my agendas, if I had come out here, the World Cup would get me out here, is to do some research and look into some of the Machalniks from here, from South Africa, that I had always heard about, known about, and wanted to do some basic research and get some underlying facts, and maybe run into one of the pilots, any living pilots from 1948 that from South Africa that flew for Israel.
Well, now you showed me a picture just before we came on air of your father, which you found in a book in the museum here. And he's based in Los Angeles. Mike, you say Los Angeles.
L.A., Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, South Africans. Anyway, the producer of the film, Mike Flint, who's your father, was one of the American volunteer pilots in 1948.
That's correct, and that's probably...
That's what got you interested.
That's, yes. Let's say I was born with this project in its own way. It's just something that's in me I love very much. I'm extremely proud of my father. My father is one of the, by fact of going to Israel in 1940, is one of the founding fathers of the Israeli Air Force, flew with Squadron 101 and Squadron 35. And I was here in one of the... Jewish museum, the Jewish Museum down in Cape Town, and I was doing some research there, and there was a book by Eddie Kaplansky called "The First Flyers," and I have a different copy of it without any pictures, and I was flipping through it, and it opened up to the page where it was a picture of my dad in there, and I had never seen that picture before, so it was kind of prophetic that here, wow, I'm here all the way halfway across the world, and my dad is. Not in too many books, but there he is, right in that book, predominantly. And no, there were two or three pictures of him in the book, so that was even more interesting.
So you grew up with the knowledge that your father was in the 1948 war, and so you knew about the whole thing, and when you became a filmmaker, this is what your passion was, to make a movie of it.
Eventually.
Documentary?
Eventually, I was in the business, and of course, this is a project that I'd love to see made, but it takes an incredible amount of determination, luck, perseverance to be able to do a subject like this, and then of course raising the money to do a film like this, and nobody has ever done it for whatever reason on the scale that I set out to do with my co-producer, who I want to mention over here. If it wasn't for my co-producer Karen Perlmutter, who I reached out and asked her to join me in this cause, and she felt it was a very, very important cause, and she has completely dedicated herself to this, and in turn then it re-energized me, and for the last year and a half or so we have been dedicated to try to make this project happen. And one of the first things that we did was getting the right talent attached to make this an A project that would be worthy of a feature film, a documentary that would get a theatrical release.
Right, and has it had?
We're in the process there.
Are you in the process of making it?
We're in the process of making it.
And who are the talent that talent that you've got involved?
It started with getting Mark Jonathan Harris, arguably probably the greatest documentary filmmaker of our time, at least in my opinion. He's a fantastic.
Well, he's a three-time Academy Award winner.
Yes, that would substantiate my thought.
That would help.
The only one who's ever won.
Can we tell the audience that he, legendary Top Gun screenwriter, there's the other one, Jack Epp.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Well, you do your homework and know all.
No, actually, Lee does. but I learn it from her, and I absorb it.
Jack so Epps is the writer of Top Gun, one of the most successful writers in Hollywood. And he's a billion-dollar writer. His cum on all his films is right around $1 billion. He's quite successful, written to the likes of Dick Tracy and many, many other films. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Top Gun that he wrote, Top Gun, having him on board was a godsend. And then, of course, our musical composition team of Jonathan Tunick and Alan J. Friedman, between them, they've won an Oscar, an Emmy, a Grammy, and a Tony, one of only three people to have ever accomplished that ever in the entertainment business.
That's incredible. So you've got this top award-winning team making this movie.
Absolutely.
And how far have you got with it?
Well, I'd say, you know, we want to make sure we have the entire funding, both for not only for production, for marketing and distribution, so this film isn't just made and lands on a shelf. So,
who do you go to get funding?
Well, it started, we look in many different people, and we were ultimately very lucky to meet a guy named Mark Lansky, who became our executive producer, who was basically able to raise two-thirds of the entire budget for us already. And part of here's the South Africa theme over here. These volunteers, and the pilots in particular, came from around the world. But South Africa, amazingly proportionate per capita, had more people that went to Israel than any other country in the world.
Is that real?
As you could see from another book that that I had found here, written by Henry Katsu, it's called South Africa's 800.
Is that where you went today, to the library,
no,
museum?
Before, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And that book lists the 810 or so volunteers. Approximately, I believe there were, about 70 that were in the Air Force. And lucky through that, I had met...
Now, George, you can't be shy because you're sitting here and people know that you're here, so you've got to tell us. You've got to talk, George.
What do you want me to tell
you? Come a little bit further. Tell us about your involvement.
Well, I volunteered in 1948, and I served in the Palmach, in the Khatibata Negev, in the Jeep Commanders, and until the end of the campaign, until we captured Eilat. I married a lady that I met in Beersheba when we captured Beersheba. She was the officer in charge of all the ambulances and medical services for the brigade. And
you're still married to her?
I'm still married to her, only 61 years. And
wow,
she served.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
She was in the Palmach before, for 4 years in the underground. She served in Jerusalem, and she has stories of her own.
George, pop on your earphones. We've got a caller for you.
Oh, my God. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, George.
Yes?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, my uncle was flew in the Air Force, Cyril Steinberg in Machal.
Dawn, you know what? Maybe Mike might want to speak to you because her uncle was in the Air Force. And that's the movie you're doing.
Yes, absolutely.
He actually documented some of his experiences.
That's wonderful.
And I'm almost certain that he was offered the honor of flying Chaim Weizmann into Israel.
Wow. That's a great story there.
Mike was just saying that it's people like George, who you've just been listening to, who have inspired him to do this movie, which he is doing and busy doing, about the Israeli Air Force and the birth of the Israeli Air Force. Do you want to tell us, Mike, a little bit more about this?
I do, but before I slide, I just want to say, George doesn't see himself as a hero.
Well, we do.
But we do. Israel is a modern miracle. And there were so many people involved. There was no one person. It wasn't just the Air Force. It wasn't just the ground pounders. It wasn't just the Palmach. It wasn't the Navy. It was a whole people that came together to help create Israel. And if it wasn't for all of them... I mean, and each one. Go ahead.
I think what you leave out is the people of Israel themselves. If we, as volunteers, came around, they, the 600,000 that had been there, had been suffering and were the recipients of the worst conditions. I mean, Jerusalem was bombarded all the time. In Kfar Etzion, they were massacred. So, you know, one cannot only talk about our contribution without giving credit to an enormous amount of the locals who suffered tremendously.
I love the quote in the front of your book, George. He says, it's a quote from the Quran. It says, if you kill an innocent person, then you have killed the whole of humanity.
George is correct, without Israelis that were living there, but it was a unified effort. And my focus is on the particulars of the Air Force and the incredible stories of how the Air Force was created, how they were clandestinely arrived in Israel, and their stories, how the planes that were there, they were basically cut up and reassembled in Israel. How the very first planes were the Messerschmitts, but the Messerschmitts weren't the exact Messerschmitts the Germans were using. They were a Czechoslovakian version. This Messerschmitt, the propeller itself wasn't aligned, where you would literally, when you went up and you would shoot through the propeller, and it was not synced properly, and many of the pilots, how should you best say, shot their own propeller off and were killed trying to shoot down the enemy. A very, very sad, but that's all they had. Eventually they got more Spitfires, and eventually they got Mustangs, and the Air Force, and they had the best trained pilots in the world because they were really the top guns from around the world. And their stories of dedication. And here's another small fact that I find to be most riveting, that you would think that by and large most of the fighters would be Jewish. And in the armed forces of the Army and the Navy that they had, a majority were Jewish, maybe 99%, maybe 100%. I don't have the exact statistic that. In the Air Force, they had somewhere upwards of at least 20%, maybe 30% non-Jews that came to fly.
Really?
And if it wasn't for them, and some of them, their feelings towards...
Were they mainly American?
No, again, mixed.
Mixed.
Mixed, all from South Africans, English, Canadians, Americans, Swedish. In all, 40 different countries, from 40 different countries came from all the services, and from the Air Force, somewhere around 15 different countries. It's hard to say. It's a miracle that people united and were willing to leave their homeland to take on a battle for another country far, far, far away. And if I may share one other story, and this story was in South Africa's 800, and it's been mentioned in many of the books. A lot of the pilots' parents, you know, the son or would say, "Mom, Dad, I'd like to go to Israel to fight in this war." And basically, there's this, "Son, that's a wonderful thing, but let some other son do it. You just got through World War II. We're so glad you're back home, and for you to risk your life to go out to fight, and it's a wonderful cause, son. But we need you here at home." Mm. My dad being one of those, and he was his mother basically told him that, and they decided anyways
to go,
and they fabricated stories. In my dad's case, he fabricated a story that he was going to the Olympic Games, and off he went. And when he was in London, he actually had family there, and he had postcards sent off every month saying, "Everything's fine here in London. Mom, don't worry."
Mm-hmm.
And went on to Israel.
We've got a guest from Cape Town, and his name is Morris Galp, Captain of the Israeli Air Force.
Morris, I am delighted that this is a very special to have Morris. Morris, I had the opportunity to meet him a few days, and I heard his stories and the fact that he's listening in. It's fantastic to hear your voice.
And to hear from you again as well.
Morris, while we're on the line, and could you share some of your stories about that no plane would be up in the air without your checking and inspection? Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know very little except for the brief conversation we've had.
What sort of airplanes did they fly?
Well, Morris, we started off with a few Piper Cubs and a de Havilland Dove. And later on, we got a few Harvards. That was for the pupil pilots. And then we got Messerschmitts, Mystères from France, all sorts. We had all different types. We even had mosquitoes from Britain. You know, when I say mosquitoes, we had one or two. That was it.
And we've got somebody called Sylvia on. Hello, Sylvia. She's another caller in. Hello, Sylvia.
No, it's basically the call you missed. This is Corinne.
Oh, Corinne. Okay, come on.
Corinne Tannenberg.
Yes. Yes, Corinne.
My husband's uncle, who now lives in Boston, he volunteered in 48. He was also not a pilot, but he was on the planes. When they ran out of, he was Aubrey Wassing. That's who he is. And he tells us that when they ran out of bombs or bullets, they dropped empty bottles, and that whistling sound scattered the enemy. They thought it was bombs dropping.
Mike's nodding his head because you know about that.
It's a true story. They were out of ammunition, and literally the effect that caused scared him. Almost as much as real bullets. It really scared him. They devised whatever they could to make use with whatever they had to be able to win this war.
Mm.
Anything.
This is such a work.
I can corroborate that because I was also on one of those missions.
Oh, there you go. So you remember the whole thing with the bottles.
So, Morris, did you load them up with these seltzer bottles?
No, we had empty beer bottles, any kind of bottles. It didn't make any difference. Dropping them from the aircraft, they made weird noises, very loud noises, and the Arabs on the ground thought they were jinns. You know, the ghosts of their ancestors, and they ran like hell. And of course, we had fun dropping a few hand grenades as well. We didn't have much in the arm in the way of bombs at the time.
Mike, are you going to include?
Yes, those are stories that are extremely special. I mean, it's almost comical to think that today. I mean, you could drop out a beer bottle, or you could drop a thing out, and it made it such a whiz sound that it scared them. It really scared them.
So that'll go in the movie.
That will go in the movie.
That's in. And we're back here. This is 101.9 Chai FM, and we are having the most exciting time in the studio. And I'll tell you why. Mike, you tell us what happened.
This is truly... let me get my thoughts together. Everything about South Africa and everything that's happened on this has been unbelievable, amazing. Being here, the people here are amazing. And running into this and sliding into this, getting to the World Cup. But this project, what I'm here for, this has been most amazing. The other day, I was in the library and I was mentioning to you, there's a guy named Henry Katsu who wrote this book, The South Africa's 800.
Yeah.
I know of the book, but I don't have a copy of the book. The librarian pulled it out of the library to give it to me. I called my dad and I told him, I said, you know, he says, Mike, you've met his son a few years ago. He was in there. I said, you know, I'd like to get a hold of him. I have no idea how to get. He says, I don't know where I put his number or where it is. And I sent my team out just yesterday. I said, can you try to find the son of Henry Katsu? And there's a picture in the museum of Mike Flint and Joe Katsu. There's very few people that know about Squadron 35. So lo and behold, here I'm in the radio station doing this show, come up to Joburg, and by unbelievable, Steve is here. Steve Katsu, who is the son of Henry Katsu.
Hello, no, Steve. No, 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 no. Steve.
Sorry, I got that wrong. Son of Joe. That is your...
Joe and Henry were brothers.
Brothers. That's your uncle, and Joe is your father.
I've just got to tell the listeners, because they don't know what's going on here.
Yes.
We were sitting in the studio doing our interview, and I saw a man come in speaking to my producer, and that's who this is. You heard it on the radio.
Absolutely.
And you came here.
Well,
you came specially to see Mike.
Absolutely. I thought Mike Flint was Mike's father. My late dad used to refer to Mike Flint, the pilot. Apparently, his real name is Mitchell Flint.
That's correct.
And my late dad used to refer to him as Mike. So when I heard Mike Flint being interviewed on the radio, I thought it was Mike Flint.
Where were you when you heard this?
I was driving around.
Oh, how fantastic!
This area. I was on my way to my bookkeeper. Actually,
this is really fantastic. And, so thank you so much for coming up.
Wow, the power of radio.
Yeah.
And this is going international because thanks to your producer, she sent it out to a blast list to some of the people that we've been corresponding with. So hopefully out there in the surely in the United States, we have folks listening out to this show too.
Yeah. Yes, because it's done on audio streaming, you see, as well. What do you think you're going to call this movie? Because, you know, we've got listeners here and maybe you'll go back to the States, you'll make the movie and they'll all be sitting waiting for it.
That's an excellent question. The title was called Angels in the Sky.
Good.
Angels in the Sky, The Birth of Israel. And it's through the eyes of the Israeli Air Force that we're focused on this. And a quick story on the title, Angels in the Sky.
Yeah.
The very first squadron, Squadron 101, were known as the Angels of Death. And that inspired it. It may not make for a great movie to call Angels of Death.
No, I like Angels in the Sky.
Angels in the Sky. And it says, in fact, on the way coming here, I was talking to George. I said, how do you know my movie's about just the Air Force? He says, when I heard it was called Angels in the Sky, I knew you were focused on the Israeli Air Force.
Yeah. Maybe one day you'll make one about George's experience.
I'd love to. I hope to prove this could be a success. There are so many great stories out there about the birth of Israel, and I'd love to see more, especially with the bad publicity that Israel gets and people who don't know about the history of Israel and what the Jewish people go through and what Israel goes through and what Israel has created out of the desert. There are so many great stories. I am biased to this story, and I personally feel this is one of the greatest stories, and maybe Steve will agree with me there because he comes from an Air Force family, but they were all great stories. But I hope to get this completed sometime soon while we still have living history with us in terms of the remaining living pilots. There's approximately 12 around the world that I know of, my dad being one of them. And I hope to get this film before they go off to the wild blue yonder. I hope to get this done in the next very soon. I'd like to get this done right away.
You know, Mike, it's so important at this time, too, because of all the awful press that Israel is getting around the world. And this is an important thing to happen now. We've got two SMSs because we're coming up to the end of the program. So I have to just butt in here. We've got somebody saying, my late Uncle Harold, Rick Herrick, Hanrick, flew in that unit. And it comes from Gail. So there's somebody who knew about her uncle. And then there's my uncle J.W. ran the pilot training camp in Rome in 1947. And that came from Wilfred.
Being here is fantastic. Annabel, thank you very much for having me.
No, it's a great pleasure.
It's been fantastic.
And I must say thank you to my producer, Lee, who's very creative, and she discovered you. And she's looking at me now and telling me that you need funding. you would like people to access, they can always get in touch with Lee and Chai FM.
May I mention our website? We have a website that's really first rate, www.angelsinthesky.themovie.com. One word, angelsinthesky.themovie.com. You could find out more. It's expanding all the time. In fact, we'll probably put a copy of this radio cast on the site, or put a link to that and make sure that's up there too.
That's a fantastic idea. We've come up to the end and it's such a shame because, I mean, this could have gone on and on and it's getting more and more exciting. I'm expecting other people to come bursting into the studio.